Hello and welcome to a very special edition of the Legal Geeks. We're special for a couple of reasons. First of all, we're very honored to have a special guest with us here today, Judge Chirino. Thank you for joining us today, Your Honor.
Thank you.
It's also special because, as you may have noticed, we're all in the same location today. Hey, Josh, how are you?
It's good to actually see you in person.
It is a momentous occasion.
We're physically in the same place at the same time.
And all you had to do is travel to Utah to be in the exact same place.
That's right.
At the Paraben Forensic Innovation Conference, magic happens because it can bring people together from all over the United States.
This is going to go down in geek history. This conference will be remembered forever because of this moment right here. This is practically like the meeting at Malta.
And I'm keeping them separate.
You actually do need to keep us separate.
So,
since this is such a special event, we figured what better to talk about than superheroes.
Exactly.
So, we're going to talk about superheroes today, and Josh, why don't you start us off?
Criminals are a cowardly and superstitious lot, and to fight them, you need a symbol. And we've understood this for many years. For DC, it started with Superman. For Marvel, the Submariner. And it's continued, and there are many, many superheroes to choose from. But let's talk about what would actually happen if you were a superhero. Is that a good idea? Now, I think, personally, spandex is a privilege, not a right. More importantly, I think it's profoundly dangerous to decide that I'm going to play vigilante and get shot at. Because you might think you're super cool, but I have a gut feeling things would end badly if anyone decided to take the law into their own hands.
I can guarantee I'm not running around in spandex.
No. Will not end well.
You know, and actually in today's age, it'd be tough to be at least Superman, right? Because you don't have telephone booths anymore. Wasn't he always ducking into a telephone booth? Yeah. Now you're like, hold up your iPhone in front of me while I rip off my clothes, you know? It doesn't work in today's age to be a superhero.
If he can fly around the planet and turn back time, I think he's going
to
be okay there.
Just duck into a bathroom. Why always a telephone booth anyway?
I don't know.
I don't know if you keep up on your Superman, but he has lost his job with the Daily Planet. The Daily Planet has folded shop, and Superman is now a blogger.
Okay.
So, just like this blog, Superman has turned to the internet and is no longer a reporter for the Daily Planet.
Wait, does that mean that there's a chance that we could have Superman right here with us?
He has the glasses. The bow tie spins at a really, really fast rate, deflecting all bullets.
And all girls. Yeah. But, you know, that's just a side effect.
Thanks, Jessica. Moving on. Jessica, who's your favorite superhero?
So, it's probably obvious, it's probably cliche, but my favorite is Wonder Woman. I think she is awesome and fantastic. I think she's actually very appropriate for lawyers because she is a lasso of truth. So I'm like, that would be
come
very
in handy for many trials.
Wouldn't it be nice for depositions, for trials?
Would have less use for me. Because you really don't need a finder of fact if you have the golden
lasso. Everybody has to tell the truth. Plus, the invisible plane would be pretty awesome. And, side note, I took fencing for a semester in college. I was horrible at it, but my fencing master did call me Wonder Woman, and I thought that was pretty awesome, so I do have that. So me and Wonder Woman, I got that bond. Your Honor, how about you? Who would be your favorite superhero?
I'm off from many of the main ones. Flash was always my favorite superhero.
Which one?
Which I guess puts me in line with Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory.
That's right, he loves Flash!
He's definitely a Flash fan. One of the rare few, and seeing his intellect, it does, you know, give me some good, so
we talking Jay Garrick or Barry Allen?
Barry Allen. Okay. Definitely Barry Allen.
And not Wally West. Now, I'm not happy with the new 52 and where they made Wally West was never the Flash. But
and supposedly they're working on a Flash movie, but you hear that every so often.
Yeah.
Granted, there was the disappointing Flash TV show in the early 90s. But when you think of...
I still watch it faithfully.
You know, it was cool. They did a good job with it. But when I think Flash, I think of it as a fantastic character. And when they did the first crisis on Infinite Earths and his sacrifice and his death, you know, he was the first major casualty with that. And I thought that was profoundly tragic, but the way they had him effectively be the bolt of lightning that hit himself.
And even the old killing off of the main superhero person then became the big thing to do.
Yeah, you know, at least with resurrecting Barry Allen, it took 25 years. you know, as opposed to the planned deaths of Captain America, which was a great way to end Civil War, and the fake death of Batman at the end of, you know, Final Crisis, which were, again, cheats. Because, you know, with the way both of those stories ran, with the parallels of the secondary characters, the sidekicks, taking the mantle, taking the shield, or taking the cowl, both were fantastic stories.
And if it doesn't work out, you can just reboot anyway.
And that's what they did. Not okay.
Hey, the beauty of comic books. Sometimes you have to start over, you know?
It's not a bad thing for, you know, the newer generation to be able to pick it up from the beginning, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, in the middle of a story, at the end of the story. So the reboots do have, I think, some value in you know, every 10, 15, 20 years to do a kind of reboot. I don't think if you need the origin story over and over and over again, and that seems to be one of my problems with a lot of the movies, that they mm-hmm. keep starting with the origin
yeah.
story and changing it a little bit. And it's like you can build and have a new story and not follow the older movies, but not have to go back to the origin as well.
Agreed, you know, and that's... I fully agree. And again, they've done so many things, like with the Man of Steel from the mid-80s that John Byrne did. Fantastic, you know, reboot of Superman. And Byrne did a great job with that. And so we'll see how things continue. Now, personally, for me, you know, I have a tie between Captain America to Green Lantern. Because, one, who wouldn't want a power ring? And, you know, being what I like. I think Captain America, for the 1940s style character, was just fantastic.
I like Captain America as portrayed in the Avengers, I have to say, as a female, I guess. I've never been a Captain America fan before, but that worked in the Avengers, I gotta say.
Now, did you like did you see the Captain America movie as well?
You know what, I
so
didn't, but now
one,
I want to go
you
back.
You gotta
and
see
do
if
that,
you like
right.
the scrawny one too. So, you know, is it personality or is it just the body?
Yeah.
It's all about personality.
She gave me the answer with
no,
the
no.
body.
It's never the body, it's all personality, of course.
But, you know, the fact he didn't carry that with the Human Torch in the original Fantastic Four series, mm-hmm. I think it's the character, and I think he was an exceptional Captain America. When, especially with the way, again, at the end, when, you know, he's lost and they look at his file and it's the picture of the 98-pound version of him, you know, and like, and they realize it was him that saved the country. You know, like just highlighting it can be the underdog, it can be the underachiever.
I think the Marvel movies have done a really stellar job of getting actors to really nail those mm-hmm. characters. I mean, the Iron Man character is so well portrayed
yeah.
By Robert Downey, and,
yeah.
and it's, you know, and it's that inner turmoil that's himself mm-hmm. that he brings out to the character. It's really was really well done.
Well, I think Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I know we've gone off character, but all of a sudden, I had never been interested in the Hulk
I
before.
Hated it. That was the first movie that I liked the Hulk.
And, yeah, and I think yeah. because Mark Ruffalo really brought that
absolutely.
Kind of this struggle,
it wasn't just
the turmoil,
bam,
to it.
Smash.
Yeah,
there was that whole, you know, even that whole. That remark where, you know, I stay angry
yes.
all the time, I think was so perfect.
Yes.
And now on, it was really good. And I even liked the old TV series, the
yeah.
Hulk.
Yeah.
I was never a fan of when he turned green, but I liked the when he was human and the struggle.
All right, well, so we've discussed our favorite superheroes, and now we're going to talk a little bit about the legal issues. We're going back to why shouldn't we be a superhero? Because I got to tell you, I do have this spandex, and I'm this close to turning to superhero. So as soon as I get that power, I'm just waiting to be bitten by the right spider, and I'll be all set.
Good to know. Well, first off, the law disfavors vigilante.
Like what else, spider, do you think?
Ooh, I would love that.
So... possibly. Again, you know, when you think of, like, you know, the different legal conferences that take place, there's no cosplay. No one shows up dressed as Lincoln. No one shows up as, like, you know,
Oliver
Wendell
Holmes
or Susan B. Anthony or Jeanette Rankin. You don't see anyone doing that stuff.
I'll do Ruth Bader Ginsburg next time.
It's, you know, and again, maybe we could do a push for Legal Tech New York. I don't know how others would feel about that, but maybe we could be the force of change. But turning back to being a superhero, we don't like vigilantes because we have police officers for a reason, so we don't go around and throw cars at people. You know, that it's problematic when that happens.
That is.
That's not a good thing. But when you look at the heroes that we see from both Marvel and DC, you start seeing a couple different categories. You have the pure vigilantes, and the motivations can vary. And so you have those who are motivated by a loss, which can turn into a rage or guilt.
So I'm assuming this comes back to, like, the Batman would be an example of this?
Yeah, and versus Punisher. And so both are motivated by guilt from losing family members, but Batman has a rule against killing.
Yes.
He does not do that. Punisher, on the other hand, has zero problem with that. And, like, that's why it's a very dark character. Mm-hmm. Then you have the state-sponsored heroes. And
Captain America, your guy.
And any of the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys.
Yeah, and any of the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys.
Because S.H.I.E.L.D. technically is a quasi-governmental agency.
And so technically Avengers and Justice League would fall into that as well. Because
why would the Justice League fall into that?
It's like a U.N. charter.
Oh, was it? Okay, all right.
And even Superman had been given U.N. sanction with regards to combating crime in the hemisphere. And then there was even an issue, I think it was last year, where he renounced his U.S. citizenship.
Oh.
So as to be only a citizen of the world. And there was a bit of a backlash from the geek world. I follow the blogs more than anything else, and you know, that he was renouncing his U.S. citizenship, and it was an interesting issue.
Yeah, because when you look at, people feel hurt when the original characters are changed, and so when they looked
at Truth, Justice, and the American Way,
and that hurt a lot of people. So when you think of, say, in Frank Miller's, the Dark Knight, Returns. There were issues because at the end of that, Batman, Superman fight. And that bothered a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, like, they did it exceptionally well, you know, taking place underneath the streetlight where Bruce Wayne lost his parents. And so, they did some neat stuff with that. But when you start messing with canon, people feel hurt, which is part of the reason why there's, some people not happy with the new 52. Mm-hmm. My brother loves the way they took Green Lantern and having Sinestro becoming part of the Green Lantern Corps again. And so he thought that was really cool with how they did that.
Now, getting back to the state sponsor versus vigilante, wouldn't Batman kind of fall in between? Because there is the argument that the police call upon him. I mean, when they send out the bat signal.
He and Commissioner Gordon certainly had a relationship and an understanding. Mm-hmm. But I think it was a personal understanding with the commissioner as opposed to the police department of Gotham City.
All right. Okay.
I would agree with that. There's a good argument.
Now, for Batgirl is a different story, being his daughter, right?
Yeah. Well, I think there's tacit consent there. And there's, and as the Batman Inc. expanded out, so you had, Robin when he became Batman after Bruce Wayne's alleged death, and, and the way things expanded out, there is tacit consent from the police department that these are the guys to go to because you have horrible supervillains running around doing horrible things, and you need to have that, counteract it because the police couldn't handle it themselves. But, so again, state-sponsored, Congress has the right to raise an army if need be, mm-hmm. and we look at the police powers of a state, it's like that's arguably within police powers if you have that taking place.
And I think DC did that more, I guess, than Marvel. If you look at their superheroes, they seem to have been more of that legitimacy mm-hmm. behind them than the Marvel superheroes.
Agreed.
Where does Catwoman fall into the in the bad Catwoman, the good Catwoman, bad at sometimes, good at other times.
The morally, confusing, like, what's the situation here on who to look at. Now, I do think DC, there have been some phenomenal storylines. I think one of the best was Cry for Justice, just as an attorney, looking at a bunch of heroes who want to uphold the law, going, we're going to go fight because we're not going to wait for a problem to come anymore. Mm-hmm. To Civil War, which was probably the best with the legal issues of mandatory registration and turning over secret identities.
We can now move to Pixar.
This is true.
The Incredibles and the whole issue and why they went away mm-hmm. was the lawyers, they were sued away.
That's right.
Yep.
And for all those reasons, the throwing of the car into yeah. the building, then you gotta, someone's gotta pay all these damages.
Yeah, and it's like if you have those types of things taking place all the time. Another train derailment happened today. People are going to get fed up with that. And you probably end up with a world like Powers, where, they prohibit powers, and which is being made into a TV series. So it'll be interesting to see how they pull that one off.
Wow.
But I do think two legal issues that came up from two of the best Green Lantern storylines. Sinestro War, that the Sinestro Corps was winning the war because they had no problem with killing. Mm-hmm. And the Green Lantern Corps, being a police force, prohibited it. Well, they modified the Book of Oa to allow killing and fighting the Sinestro Corps. And it showed a huge moral compromise. And some of them refused to do it. But by doing that, it allowed them to win the war.
Yeah.
And the other one with Blackest Night, which was one of the best, it's like the intelligent zombie storyline.
Which, how often do you hear that? This is the intelligent zombie movie.
They had more brains than the other zombies.
That's right. They were at Stanford.
since it deals with the emotional, you know, core of humanity and all of life, mm-hmm. you know, they resurrected people who were like soulless. So they were like the same person, but without any morals, and they would rip out the hearts of those that they knew to kill them, to feed off that emotional energy, to fuel the Black Lantern.
Oh, that is extremely unpleasant.
And so there was like some really hard, they knocked off a bunch of characters. But then at the end, you know, when they, you know, the White Lantern is used to...
How many colors? I know green, I know yellow.
So yellow represents fear.
There's an orange one too, right?
Which is avarice, so that's okay. Greed.
I missed the whole black one.
Black is death. Okay, then you have red, which is rage, and blue, which is hope.
Okay, so you can almost have a show on which, are there more colors of kryptonite or more green or more lanterns?
You know, I've never counted the number of kryptonite colors there are.
There's a lot of them too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. But the fracturing of the spectrum led mm-hmm. to the Blackest Night. But the legal issue from that, several of the heroes and villains that died were resurrected at the end of it. And they'd been dead a long time. So what happens if you have a person who's been dead for 20 years, literally gone, and then they come back? What's that do to wills? What's that do to, you know, all those issues that fall from that? And I don't know the issues from that, you know, the answer, because that doesn't happen in real life.
As I say, you obviously have the case. In fact, in A Short History of Nearly Everything, Bill Bryce tells with some of the scientists a great story about the scientist who went to India to try and measure something that Sir Edmund Halley had talked about. And by the time he came back to England, of course, he'd been declared dead. And that happens a lot, yes, where people are declared dead, their assets are distributed under a will. But yeah, if you really are dead, I think legally you're like, sorry, I think you come back as a new person, I guess. That'd be my... How would you handle that?
We had this discussion earlier, and I said that a good example of this was the True Blood series, where they passed an amendment that made the undead have the same rights to inheritance and et cetera as the living.
Wow.
And they had to pass, you know, an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that gave them those rights. And that was in one of the early shows and was in some of the early books.
Wow.
And that would be interesting.
I think we've shown a lot of geek credentials this evening.
I think I see the need for a new blog, like judicially geeky or something. I want to hear from you more often.
There are a few judicial geeks.
You know, I was really touched, you know, when you emailed me that one of your counterparts emailed my post about Firefly. You know, it's like, it was nice to know, like, all right, judges are reading this. This is rock on. And it was a good thing.
I just finished a book on the flight over called Collapse, which deals with the U.S. government entering a bad depression and basically collapsing. And one of the main characters is a big geek, and very much like Sheldon in Geek Time, Asperger's syndrome, and highly intelligent, and he made a ton of Firefly references dealing with the debt that we owed to China, and that, you know, it was Firefly coming true, and that the U.S. citizens were learning Chinese, and China was absorbing our country more and more and more and more to kind of prove that the Firefly theory, he called it.
Wow.
Holy cow. I think we need to have a special edition of Legal Geeks with you to discuss Serenity and Firefly. We need to talk Big Bang Theory, because I can talk about that all day long.
I can do Big Bang Theory, Babylon 5, Firefly, Star Wars is my ultimate favorite.
Right.
He's much better on Star Trek. My father-in-law is the Star Trek guy.
Are you excited with the sale?
I'm very excited.
Good.
Do you think a new Star Wars movie?
And some announcements
good?
That came out today, also very exciting, that... that Mark Hamill will be a part of it, and a lot of the characters. So it is going to focus on a more elderly Luke Skywalker. I'm still hopeful that they take the Timothy Zahn books, because there were no better books, including the six movies, no better story than that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us for this very special edition of Lego Geeks. Thank you again, Your Honor, for sitting in with us to talk about superheroes.
You're welcome.
I would love to have you come back. I'm sure Josh would. Anytime you want to discuss anything geeky, Big Bang Theory, superheroes, Star Wars, we will definitely have to do it. Josh, thank you again, as always. This was another, hopefully entertaining for everyone else, but certainly entertaining for us, episode of the Lego Geeks.
You're welcome.
Stay geeky, America. Stay geeky.